This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 76 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max.
Hi, David. Here we are again, another week and another episode.
Yeah, and while it may not seem like we have a lot of news stories, we've got a lot of news to cover, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. Some interesting things happened in this past week.
So, I mean, our topics tonight is the FAA tells law enforcement what they want them to do. CNN makes a deal for drone journalism, and we'll talk about CES, or the Consumer Electronics Shows, and how drones were a big hit there.
First item comes from the FAA. This is a press release. FAA issues UAS guidance for law enforcement. David, when I first saw this, I thought that this was great news, that the FAA was going to allow some sort of UAS operations by law enforcement. But that's not what this is. This isn't guidance on how law enforcement can use UAS.
It's guidance on how law enforcement can enforce the rules of the FAA.
That's right. I think this is very clever, actually, because, you know, we've talked about the fact that, the horse is out of the barn, or whatever metaphor you want, that there are a lot of people out there flying, well, commercially or close to it, I guess, and that the FAA can't possibly police all of this activity. Well, they don't expect themselves to police all of it either. And so law enforcement has a role here. In this guidance document, which is called Law Enforcement Guidance for Suspected Unauthorized UAS Operations, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's a little PDF that covers some interesting ground.
Yeah, the FAA says the issue is there's evidence of considerable increase in the unauthorized use of small, inexpensive UASs by individuals, organizations, and including companies. Okay, well, that's stating the obvious.
Right. And
while the FAA is responsible for enforcement, local, state, and local law enforcement are basically more in the are able to enforce the rules that the FAA sets up.
That's right. The FAA says that the enforcement agencies can deter, detect, immediately investigate, and pursue enforcement actions more easily than anyone else. Now, in this document, the FAA also explains sort of the background for this guidance, and they point out this is sort of instructional, I think, for law enforcement agencies. And the FAA says that they regulate aircraft in the national airspace system, and they also promote safe flight. They also make the statement that a UAS is an aircraft, very directly state that. And then also that it's important to know, they say, if the UAS in question is operated for hobby or recreational purposes or for some other purpose, which means commercial. And then they talk about model aircraft.
Yeah, they say model aircraft do not need FAA approval, but must be flown safely. And basically, law enforcement has dealt with model aircraft before, you know, and I'm sure there's been times over the years where someone has had to go visit somebody's house because a aircraft was flown in through a window or something. But basically, it sounds like the FAA is pushing away worrying about model aircraft as so much as the commercial use of UAVs.
And they say that model aircraft don't need FAA approval. But model aircraft have to be flown in a safe manner, so that if they are flown in a reckless or careless manner, then the FAA is very concerned about that. It doesn't matter if it's a model aircraft or a full UAV, UAS. Also, they point out that UAS are different or not model aircraft, but they do require FAA authorization, and that can be in one of three manners, either a certificate of waiver or authorization, or an airworthiness certificate in conjunction with a certificate of waiver or authorization, or an exemption under Section 333. So a UAS that's not a model aircraft has to be authorized by the FAA under one of those three methods. But then finally, the FAA gets to the point of the whole guidance document and explains the role that they see law enforcement taking.
Which is, they've suddenly become CSIs. Witness identification and interview the witnesses. Identification of the operators. Viewing and recording the location of the event. Identifying sensitive locations, events, or activities, i.e. an airport. Notifying the FAA of incident, accident, or other suspected violations. And, of course, evidence collection. So basically, do all of our hard work, and we'll send out the fines.
But again, I mean, I think this is a good thing. A lot of people will not really enjoy the increased oversight, let's say, that may come of this on the part of law enforcement. But at least the FAA is kind of explaining to them what the ground rules are here, and what the objectives are, and how they should view these potential violators of what the FAA would like to see. So it kind of lays it out for law enforcement, and I guess that's better than law enforcement having to sort of guess on their own what they ought to be doing.
Yeah, and at least it's local law enforcement, so that people who are hobbyists will know their local policemen and stuff, and there's actually something to be said for sort of, quote, boots on the ground, where the local law enforcement could tell if it's something suspicious versus something normal or ordinary. So I have mixed emotions about this, but it's something. But oh, wait a minute. It's like halfway through January, though, and we still don't have December's regulations.
The
right?
NPRM still not out as we record this.
Well, our next story was sort of surprising and out of the blue, which was, and this was from Politico.com, CNN strikes drone deal with the FAA. This is another one that had one of those interesting lead articles that you sort of go, oh, and the more you read into it, you went, oh, okay. The way I read it originally was that, oh, CNN is going to start using drones for news reporting. That's not quite it. They want to work with the Georgia Institute of Technology, and they would jointly study how UAVs can be operated safely for collecting news. And that's what the FAA has agreed to, not necessarily CNN using the drones for news collection, but studying the potential of it.
Right. This is kind of a research agreement. It's called a cooperative research and development agreement, and that's between CNN and the FAA. And I'm pretty sure some other organizations have similar kinds of agreements. I think maybe even the UAS test sites have something like that. But the CNN senior vice president, David Vigilante, said, quote, "Our aim is to get beyond hobby-grade equipment and to establish what options are available and workable to produce high-quality video journalism using various types of UAVs in camera setups." And then Michael Huerta, the FAA administrator, he also had something to say about this.
Yeah, he said, quote, "Unmanned aircraft offer news organizations significant opportunities. We hope this agreement with CNN and the work we are doing with other news organizations and associates will help safely integrate unmanned news gathering technology and operating procedures into the national aerospace system." So Interesting that he notes that he's working with other news organizations as well as CNN. So wonder what else is out there.
You're right. And again, this is good. I mean, this is another area where everybody sees a great applicability of UAVs to news gathering, drone journalism, if you will. What's not clear is just exactly, you know, what's in this agreement. How far does it go? What's the scope? None of the press stories that we were able to identify really go into any detail at all. In fact, most of the stories look to be kind of carbon copies of each other without adding any additional information. Now, we did contact CNN Communications looking for more information on this and even a copy of the agreement if it's if it's available to the public. But we haven't heard back yet. It's kind of a little soon, so we'll wait patiently. And if we do hear back from CNN, we'll certainly share that with you.
So I guess that brings us to our main topic tonight. Las Vegas was buzzing with drones, I guess, last week. The International Consumer Electronics Show, CES, it's basically the Detroit car show for electronics geeks. And drones were a big deal this year, like they have been over the last couple years.
There were a lot of them around. Again, David, as we know, the Consumer Electronics Show, it really does offer kind of a combination of different things to look at. And you know, like we say, some of them are available and on the market right now. A lot of them are not and are kind of trial balloons or concepts that don't yet have funding, or maybe they have funding, but they don't have a market indicator that would let them launch the product. And that's true in this case as well. Some of the drone companies that were there were displaying products that you can go out and buy right now. And others were kind of more conceptual, and you get to look at graphic images of some of these products and not actual photographs of the products. But one of the articles we saw was in USA Today. This is Drones Fly High at CES. Their comment was, remotely controlled flying machines are everywhere at the 2015 Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And they showed in this article the AirDog, which is another one of these auto-follow drones.
As they say, it's envisioned for extreme sports. So you're skateboarding, your drone can follow you to videotape you going down the pipe. It's interesting. It's a quadcopter, but it's a unique quadcopter that it looks like it's got two propellers up thrust and two propellers down thrust. And it's got a pre-order of $1,295, and that would be $1,295, not $12.95. So we'll have a link to the AirDog in the show notes. We also had the RTF Ghost drone, which can be operated by a smartphone app and is GoPro ready, and that's slightly cheaper at $600.
And then in Technology Review, they mentioned that there was a first at the CES. There was an unmanned systems marketplace on the show floor, and they had about a dozen companies exhibiting in that area. They noted that the market for consumer-geared unmanned aircraft is still small, and it's not quite clear what the devices will be used for. I think it's kind of clear for us, David. But they say the companies making them seem to believe buyers will enjoy simply flying around taking videos and will eventually invent new uses that increase their appeal. Technology Review
needs to take a few steps back. And I read this article and went, okay, what rock have you folks been hiding under? Because we've talked about it a lot. We hearken this back to the golden age of computers when we didn't know computers could do anything, but they could do everything. And right now, drones can do anything we want them to do. So I really don't know where they were coming from that they came up with that whole issue of...
Yeah, what are these for? They did also note, however, that the FAA was actually set up close to this unmanned systems marketplace, and they were promoting the Know Before You Fly initiative, and in fact were handing out flyers. And, you know, I got to give the FAA a lot of credit for, well, not only attending, but also locating themselves so close to sort of this this hub of UAV activity and promoting the Know Before You Fly program. I think that's a very intelligent move.
Yeah, well, and we support that program. I mean,
sure.
We haven't, the FAA hasn't acknowledged that the UAV Digest is the primary promoter of that program. However, and I know you guys are out there listening, but it's a good thing. You know, I think the FAA has finally, and I'll probably regret saying this, but you can mark it down. It was episode 76. The FAA has figured out they need to be partners and not adversaries.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of things are starting to come together. There's a lot of other things that still need to to fit
right,
into place.
I know, but I'm just saying, there's a tone change.
Yeah, yeah.
I think since Christmas, there's been a tone change, and I think it started with this Know Before You Fly. That not only the FAA, but the vendors and the product makers, as well as the organizations, can have a stake in the mission statement. You know, they're yeah. all... So I think there's a tone change, and it bodes well for 2015.
And also in the Technology Review article, they describe the Trace Flyer 1. That's F-L-Y-R 1. Here's another one that's available for pre-order. This is interesting. It's another follow-you kind of drone. And what this does is it follows you at a fixed distance. And it does that by tracking a pattern on your shirt. That's really interesting.
So, what happens when you wear a solid black T-shirt?
I guess the Trace Flyer 1 is on its own, and maybe it'll go follow someone else. I don't know.
But personally, it's kind of an ugly drone.
Well, it's interesting.
It's kind of an ugly quadcopter.
You know, it's good because it's got a guard around the outside, so that kind of protects the four rotors.
I know that, having totaled a bunch of rotors on my little quad.
Another aspect of this, though, David, from the drawing, is that guard is open on one side, but there is a port on the opposite side that looks like that would be the camera port. But if that's the case, then it's the guard is going to obscure the view from the camera. So either the camera's on the other side, or I don't know, maybe this guard is on backwards.
I don't know. It still looks funky.
It is. Yeah. One other thing that I thought was kind of interesting is they talk about how it's got a multitude. This is from the Trace Flyer 1 website, a multitude of self-controlled motorized accessories that you can click in and out. But they characterize this as a visually intelligent smart camera, right? They don't call it a drone. It's an intelligent smart camera. Interesting.
To quote Mr. Shakespeare, a drone by any other name will tell you just as good of photographs.
That's right. Intel was at the show, and they had some interesting things to say. In fact, the CEO of Intel was there at one of the keynote speeches.
Yeah, Brian Krzanich was there with supporting Ascending Technologies that uses a depth sensing camera from Intel. This technology finds the shortest route from point A to point B while avoiding obstacles in the way. So we're providing depth perception to UAVs, which is kind of cool and sort of, I don't know if Intel is following it up as a product for sense and avoid, but sure as hell sounds like sense and avoid.
Now, BBC was there as well, and an analyst with CCS Insight, Ben Wood, he said that drones are arguably the most hyped product at CES. I don't know if that's a compliment or a dig. They also had a photo of that ghost drone that you mentioned earlier, David, and this one is available in all pink. Why pink? Well, apparently they believe that pink will appeal to the female market.
I need to get them in touch with Lionel. Do you ever hear the story about Lionel?
What's the story about Lionel?
In 1950, they came out with a pink train for girls.
And how successful was that?
It was miserable because the girls wanted the trains like all the boys.
Yeah.
They wanted the big black steam train, not the bubblegum pink with the powder blue cars. And if you have access to the Lionel girls train, it's probably one of the most valuable collectors of all time for Lionel products, because they only produced a couple hundred of them and nobody bought them other than a few people who are collectors. So the pink ghost drone, I don't know. Although, if I remember correctly, Drone Girl had, hers was painted pink, wasn't it?
Ah, maybe you're correct.
I mean, we're going back some, but I think she even said she used nail polish or something to paint it pink.
I think you're right. See, you have a much better memory than I do, David. So I rely on you for that.
But yeah, I still think girls want drones like guys want drones. And, you know, anytime you've tried to make a female anything, it always seems to backfire.
Yeah.
Because, so.
Now, DJI was at the show, of course. And they showed some of the usual things that you would expect, the Inspire One and all that. But they also had something they called a drone stick. And, what's a drone stick? What's that all about? Well, you know, you have your GoPro or your other camera maybe on on your multi-copter. And you're not always flying your multi-copter. What do you do with it other times? The drone stick is a handheld mount that you can affix your camera, and it will also accept the Inspire One camera and gimbal as well. So that's a little accessory, I guess, if you've made all the investment in DJI hardware that you can think of and need just that one additional item. You can consider the drone stick.
It's probably the most expensive selfie stick on the planet.
Yeah, yes.
It does look very impressive, though.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I don't know what the price is. I didn't catch that.
It's made by DJI. It's quality product. However, it's probably expensive. And firsttechfirstpost.com, drone revolution begins with AirDog, Hero Plus, and Nixie.
Hexo Plus.
The Hexo Plus drone from Squadrone System is another autonomous auto-follow drone getting a lot of attention. They call it a self-flying camera, but you supply the GoPro and control it through an app. Available for pre-order at $1,149. These self-flying drones seem to be the trend this year, huh?
Yeah, they seem to be what a lot of manufacturers are thinking is going to interest people. You know, we keep bringing up the beginnings of the computer age and the analogies to that, the personal computer age, and maybe the analogy here is the killer app. You know, that's often referred to as an enabling technology in the computer business, and the killer app so far with drones, I think, has been this video, right? Enabled by GoPro. Maybe this is the next step. The thing that gets people's attention, gives them a reason to get involved or to get interested in it. Maybe it's part of that concept we talked about way back towards the beginning of the show, David, where people are looking for uses. Maybe this is that kind of a thing.
I don't know. Next year we'll have to go together, and we'll have to do a quality analysis instead of these people who think they haven't figured out what the heck is going on at CES. So if anybody's out there who went to CES and has their own report, send it to feedback@theUAVDigest. We'd like to hear people who maybe were there and want to give their own little feedback on what were the trends and such. And I guess, Max, we'll move on to the video of the week, which, funny, it's about CES 2015, huh?
Yeah, it is. This is racing in a Las Vegas drone rodeo. It's a YouTube video. We haven't really talked much about drone racing, but we know that that's out there. People are doing it. This was an event, I believe, sponsored by or created by DJI, and so what you saw were a lot of Phantoms racing in pairs, generally through a course. I tell you, Dave, that certainly exceeds my skill level at this point.
Yeah, I can't get even the hover yet, so I'm not even going to. I think you can outrank me on my skills. But yeah, no, it's a good video. It's interesting, and we might need to look into drone racing. I do wonder, though, if it's beyond line of sight and therefore illegal. So it's interesting. So
yeah, the racers were generally flying first person view, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. So I don't know. Well, I hate this show. I now think like the FAA.
it's turned you into something different, has it?
I now know more legalese than I ever wanted to do. I was a history major, not a poli sci major. And I know more legalese now than I ever did in a year and a half of doing this show. But that's good. All right, but let's move on to some other new notes.
Feedback.
Feedback from Eric. I like the tone of this email.
Yes.
I couldn't believe the costs involved with this commercial drone shoot. $11,000 for the permit, $1,000 paid to the film commission, $60,000 paid to the police department and other agencies. Getting the shot worth it? Priceless. Okay, well, he didn't add that, but that's the first thought that came into my mind. Is an aerial shot really worth that much? It seems like a huge waste of money. What did you think, Max?
Well, in general, I think, you know, we like to think that creating commercial videos, in this case, a commercial, a high-end commercial, you like to think that using drones instead of helicopters or cranes or other expensive equipment, you know, would be a huge cost savings. So this sounds kind of high. But this story, it comes from ABC News affiliate, and it talks about the Coit Tower. And this thing had to be shut down. Not only that, but the park around it. This was all shut down for this commercial because a drone was involved. And a lot of people were kind of ticked off that it was so disruptive. To their credit, I guess they, you know, they shut the place down rather than, you know, continue to produce this film, this aerial film with, you know, with the people around. It says that they obtained the permits to fly the system. They say that this was all done under supervision of the FAA. I don't know what the supervision of the FAA meant in this particular case. I mean, you know, in the context of how the FAA grants COAs and things for people to use UAS in commercial contexts, I don't know what supervision of the FAA means.
I wonder if they actually had an FAA rep there on the ground.
But how? But if that was the case, and I could, you know, I could see that, but how is that consistent with, you know, what other people would like to do? How is that consistent with, let's say, a real estate company that says, "I want to film this"?
Max, stop! you're equating consistency with the FAA.
Too much logic, huh?
Yeah, we need to stop that. Okay. I don't know, and I think you're right. Not to dismiss the point you were about to make, but. I'm just doing it in a much more snarky way. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's one of those feeling it out. They're trying to do the right thing. I'm getting a little soft on the FAA, I know, but I don't know. So was it worth it? Did we get to see the final video or no?
I don't think so. I'm not sure what the product was or what the final was. Just that it was a high-end commercial being filmed. So yeah, we'll look for that, see if we can find that and then render a decision as to was it worth it or not. I mean, if it was something that would have cost $100,000 or more to produce, then yeah, maybe it is a cost-effective way. The most expensive item here, of course, was that $60,000 for police coverage. I guess that's security and keeping the area safe and all that. I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm sure the police department really enjoyed the overtime.
Our next feedback came from Peter. Geomatching.com is the first independent comparison website for geomatic, including precision agriculture and hydrographic product. Recently, Rigel, R-E-I-G-L, added Recopter to our UAV category for precision agriculture purposes.
Geomatching.com is doing an interesting thing here. I mean, this site covers a lot of different items, different scope. But one of the things you can do is select a number of different UAVs, and it brings up a comparison, sort of a specs comparison of the different UAVs. And there's a lot of them in there. Many of them you'll recognize. Many of them I did not. But it's interesting to select the ones that you might be interested in, either for precision agriculture or some other purpose, and use this comparison feature to evaluate the different craft that you might be considering. So I found that kind of unique. So yeah, thanks, Peter, for sending that in.
Well, I think, Max, we should call it a show.
Well, since you've been listening to episode 76 here, you can find the show notes at the uavdigest.com/76. That'll take you right to the notes for this episode. In general, the site is the uavdigest.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
We have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/uavdigest. Our Twitter feed, which is at UAV Digest, which is really active. I'd like to thank all of the people who subscribe to us on Twitter.
Yeah.
We've got 20 reviews on iTunes, but we'd love to have 21 or 22. So look us up on iTunes. And if you really love us, leave us a feedback. It helps. And of course, if you'd like some swag, you can go to our cafepress.com website, which is cafepress.com/the UAV Digest. And of course, if you'd like to help this little show to keep going, you can become a Patreon, and you can do that through patreon.com/the UAV Digest, or go to our homepage, theuavdigest.com, and click the donate link.
All right, very good. Another item that's on the webpage now is an ebook that Tim Trott authored, and it's being sold for a fairly low cost. It's a ebook that you can get. There's a banner on the website. You can click that and learn more about Tim's new book, The Droner's Guide.
I guess with that, thank you for listening all. And this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.